So today's the theme is about temptation. So have you ever made a firm decision to do something good, and then almost immediately something came along to test it, like this guy? I think he liked to get some lolly or chocolate here, but one on the other hand in the apple. So we know what is the more healthy, but we always be tempted by something more. This is one of the most common experiences in human life. We commit to doing the right thing, we feel ready and motivated, and then out of nowhere, temptation arrives. Let me start with a simple everyday example. You decide to go on a diet. So, Miho, have you ever decided to go on diet? No? No, okay, so I'm on diet for 40 years, after I was born, always. So how about Ina? Have you ever decided to go on diet?
Yeah, for Lent last year, I tried to not order takeaway and drink soft drink.
Yep.
I managed to do it.
Yep.
Just for Lent.
Okay, so, all right, how about Ben? Have you ever tried to go on diet?
Yes, I have done that at times in my life.
Yeah.
Usually not very successful.
Wow, it's so difficult, right? When you decided to go on diet, you feel great about it. You are focused and determined. Then, just a few days later, a close friend you have not seen in a long time called you up and says, "Hey, let's go to Korean barbecue buffet." Now what? You are on diet. But this is your dear friend and the invitation is so hard to say no. Why does this kind of thing always happen, right? When you are trying to make a good change. I'm sure many of you know exactly what that feels like. Just for me, yesterday, my wife cooked samgyeopsal, the Korean barbecue, and 9 p.m. So I know if I have the samgyeopsal, I think I would have lots of samgyeopsal on the night and next day, I will be more bigger. So yes, I'm bigger than yesterday. Yes, it doesn't mean I'm skinny, but because of samgyeopsal, today I'm a little bit look bigger. Yeah. This Sunday marks the beginning of Lent, a season where we are invited to slow down, to reflect, and to look honestly at our own lives. And the two passages we read today give us the perfect starting point for that journey. Both are about temptation, but they show us two very different ways of responding to it. In Genesis 3, we find Adam and Eve living in the garden that God had generously given them. Then, the snake appears. It begins with a simple, sneaky question. Did God really say you cannot eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say you? It sounds harmless, but it was a trap, as you know, designed to plant a seed of doubt about God's goodness and God's word. The real temptation was never just about a piece of fruit. The snake's, devil's, real offer was this: if you eat it, you will be like God. If you eat it, you will be like God. That was the hook. You can have more. You can know more. You can be in control. And Adam and Eve took the bait. They wanted to step beyond the life God had given them and grab something that was not theirs to take. If we are honest with ourselves, this is still our temptation today. We want more power. We want more recognition. We want to be the ones in charge. And so often, when we grasp for those things in the wrong way and at the wrong time, things begin to break down in our own relationships, in our communities, and in our hearts. Now we turn to Matthew 4. Right after his baptism, Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the desert. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He was physically exhausted and deeply hungry. And it was in that moment of greatest weakness that the devil came to test him. The devil made three offers. First, turn these stones into bread. Use your power to satisfy your own hunger. And second, throw yourself off the top of the temple and let the angels catch you. Make a show of who you are. And third, bow down and receive all the kingdom and glory of the world. These were not small or silly temptations. They were powerful, attractive, and deeply appealing to anyone who was hungry, tired, and carrying the weight of a great mission. But here is what makes this so remarkable. Jesus could have done every single one of those things. He had the power, he had the authority, but each time he said no. He turned away from every offer. Why? Because none of those things were why he came. Jesus did not come to this earth to display his power, to win political authority, or to rule the nations by force. The people of Israel, in his day, were longing for exactly that kind of Messiah, a mighty king who would crush their enemies and restore their nation's greatness. It sounds like someone in America say like that. America makes great again, right? Very such like what he said. Matthew, writing his gospel for a Jewish audience, addresses this misunderstanding head on. Right from the beginning, he makes it clear this is not who Jesus is. Jesus' mission was far more costly and far more wonderful. He came to walk alongside the weak, to be present with the suffering, to carry our pain to the cross, to die so that we might live. He came not to be served, but to serve. When we place these two stories side by side, the contrast is striking and profound. Adam and Eve were ordinary human beings, and yet they reached out to become like God. they were not satisfied with what they had been given. They grabbed for more, and in doing so, they lost everything. But Jesus, who actually was God, chose to go in the exact opposite direction. He chose to become like us. He took on weak, tired, and human flesh. He felt the hunger, loneliness, and exhaustion. He was tempted just as we are. And in all of it, he chose the way of love over the way of power, the way of the cross over the way of the crown. This is the astonishing good news of the gospel. God did not come to us from a position of greatness and glory, demanding our obedience. He came to us in vulnerability and humility, choosing to stand with us in our weakness rather than above us in his power. So, as we begin this season of Lent together, what are these passages asking of us? I think they are asking us to be honest. Honest about the temptation we face. Honest about the moments when we, like Adam and Eve, reach for things that are not ours to take: control, recognition, comfort, and pride. Lent is a season for that kind of honesty. It's not meant to make us feel bad about ourselves. It is meant to help us see ourselves clearly, so that we can turn back toward God. And I think these passages are also inviting us to follow a different way, the way of Jesus. Not the way of grasping and grabbing, but the way of letting go. Not the way of pushing ourselves to the top, but the way of choosing to serve. Not the way impressive displays of power, but the quiet, faithful, daily choice to love. Temptation often comes to us when we are at our most tired and vulnerable, just as it came to Jesus after 40 days in the desert. In those moments, we need more than just strong willpower. We need to know who we are and whose we are. Jesus responded to every temptation with the word of God. He was grounded in his identity and in his mission. And that groundedness is what carried him through. So this Lent, may we take time to sit with these questions. Where am I being tempted to grab for power or control? Where am I being invited to let go and trust God instead? And how can I, in my own small and ordinary life, follow the example of Jesus, choosing love, choosing humility, and choosing the way of the cross? We do not walk this journey alone. We walk it together as a community encouraging one another week by week through God's word. And we walk it with Jesus himself, the one who has already been where we are, who knows our weakness from the inside, and who has shown us the way through. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we begin this season of Lent, help us to be honest about the temptation we face every day. When we are tired and weak, remind us of who we are and whose we are. Give us the courage to follow the way of Jesus, the way of humility, love, and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.